And before we start, another word from our beautiful sponsors.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Rundown. This is Wellington coming on the mic. Today, it is Friday, July 26th, 12:48 p.m. New episode, little different. Joe is not here today. She has to work. She has to pay them bills. So shout out to Joe. But I have a special guest today with me. We're doing a little interview. It was very last minute, actually.
Yes.
But I have my friend, Ronnie Castro.
Hello, hello, man. What's going on, people?
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me, man.
And yeah, so we're going to do a little interview here. We're going to... Something that I'm really trying to work on is my ums.
Yeah, man. You know what?
Hear them?
Yeah, nah. Like,
hear them,
it took me a long time to kind of try to get rid of those. I think I still catch myself like saying them once in a while, but yo, it's hard, man. It's definitely hard.
It's really hard because I just feel like I have to talk a little bit slower so that I don't Because sometimes if I speak too fast, it's just like I'm just trying to like put in fillers.
Get the words out, yeah.
Yeah. So the podcast, oh my God. We are already about to go on episode 4 of the podcast, season 2.
That's insane.
I was telling you about it.
Yeah.
You've had your podcast, your own podcast before. What's going on with your life right now?
Man, so my life right now is pretty hectic in a sense. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? I want to thank God for even allowing me to even use the pretty hectic word. So basically right now, again, thank you so much for having me on this podcast, man. This is amazing. We're in an amazing studio in New York City. I love coming to the city anytime. But basically, I just came back from LA. I was out there working on 2 projects with my mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Thanking God again and to him, allowed me to go out there unexpectedly out of nowhere. I flew out, worked on 2 projects. I can't talk about them right now. Well, one of them I actually can talk about. It's called Pump. And it's going to be streamed. It's going to be a series streamed on a specific streaming platform first, and then it'll get picked up by the rest. But that was also fun. And then another film based on the life and based on the life of a LA casting director. So it's a lot going on, but it was fun. It was dope. I got to be featured in those 2 projects. And yeah, man, just working on my YouTube as well, and just working on my videography company as well, man.
And while you're still doing all of this, you're also in school.
I am. I graduate May 15th, 2020.
You already have the date and everything.
Yes, I am counting down the days, man.
Are you excited?
I'm super excited, bro. I can't believe it.
You know what's funny? A lot of people think I graduated, but I haven't.
You know what's crazy? I thought you graduated too.
No, I have 1 more class. I graduate this December.
That's crazy. I really thought you graduated this past May.
Yeah, a lot of people think I graduated just because like I'm not around anymore.
Right.
But it's just because I have 1 more class. It's online, so like I don't, you know.
Okay.
So I'm excited to graduate too. I can't wait to hold that diploma and just be done.
That's amazing, man.
I'm so tired of it. So tell me about your production company.
Yes.
I saw that you created an Instagram for it, and I was like, okay, he's coming out with his own brand. I want to know what this is about. Super dope.
Yes, thank you.
I saw the video that you did with, like I told you, one of my friends.
Yes.
So tell me about it.
Yeah, man. So my company is called Cast One Entertainment, CAST, number 1 Entertainment. And it basically emerged from a thought that's been behind my head for maybe like about almost a decade now. And there we go with the ums. So basically, my perspective was a little different before, right? So first and foremost, guys, if you a little bit of background about me, I'm aspiring to be a host.
Mm-hmm.
So being in front of a microphone, relaying information like this with you is, you know, my dream. It's a dream come true to even do this. So my plan before was a little different. So back when I was growing up, maybe 14, 15, when I finally discovered what it was about the entertainment industry that gravitated me so much.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, well, I want to be a host, right? I want to relay information to the people, but I know that can't be the end goal, right? I know that true power comes from behind the scenes. And in order to obtain that, at least for us, the common sense thing is a production company, right? A production company is basically the one that ties it all together. You know, a network can think of an idea. Hey, we're going to create this show. And now we have to go and find which production company we're going to, you know, work with in order to make this show a reality.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, a lot of true power and decision making is. And I said, you know what? I love creating. I love the creative process. But I never really thought about doing it so early, like now, because I said, you know what, I'm gonna wait till I get into a network, I'm gonna host for a few years, and then after I, and this is, I'm holding up quotation marks, right? So after I, you know, get a little bit of my name out there, or have the right finances, yeah, or things like that, all these excuses I was putting
and
into my
followers
head.
And the followers, exactly, and, you know, like the brand.
Exactly. So I call them excuses now. So after I, you know, after I would set out and have all the excuses, then I'll start the company. Yeah. And it took me up until like maybe this past January or a little before, speaking to a mentor of mine, I decided, I said, you know what? That's the wrong idea. That's the wrong mindset. Because there's never a right time for anything, right? You always want to get up and do what you want to do. Never let anything stop you from achieving those goals. So I said, you know what? Let's do it now. So since I'm already pursuing the hosting, I have my things on the side, mm-hmm, why don't we take it to the next level and get a little videography company up, right? Yep. And that, it's literally changed my perspective on the behind the scenes, because I was actually the person, if you talk to, you know, do you even have any interest in behind the scenes? I'm like, no, yeah, I don't care about the behind the scenes. Like, I don't, yeah, care about camera work. I don't care about editing, none of that. Yeah. And I fell in love with like cinematography, with like telling a story, whether it was through like, you know, like my last little video was, you know, a dance clip with your friend, or the one before that was a video for Coco Havana in Hoboken, New Jersey, and just things like that. So telling a story on camera is really fun, man. The editing part is really fun. Knowing that that's your baby, you're holding, mm-hmm, it in your hand, is really, really fun. So,
and
knowing out,
like, also the fact, sorry to interrupt, yeah, no, knowing that other people are looking at your work and they're like, I fuck with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that, like, for example, like, I hit you up about, like, yo, this video was dope.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel as though, like, that's dope. Like, that makes me feel, like, when people hit me up about my podcast and, like, yo, I like this episode, I like what you did here, like, I like that, because I feel like you're taking the time to notice the hard work that I'm putting into this craft.
Yeah, it's an indescribable feeling.
Yeah, it's really indescribable. Absolutely. Where do you see your company in like 5 years?
Man, oh, that's a great question, actually. I've had no one ask me that yet. 5 years, I definitely want to be on the next level of videography. I mean, right now, literally, Castle Entertainment is a one-man crew. It's, mm-hmm, just me. So, you know, whenever a client emails me or hits me up through DM or anything like that, that they want to work with me, you know, it's a little hard, because it is a one-man squad, and, you know, finding the time to kind of, you know, meet with the client and, you know, discuss and blueprint what they want to see come to life. Because my company, the thing is about Cast One, is what I want it to be different is I'm giving a lot of the creative control to the client, right? Mm-hmm. As it should be. I want the client to make sure that what their vision is in their head, mm-hmm, is what's coming out on the what's coming out on the screen, right? I'm just giving you the resources and tools to make that true, right? So, which is me, you know, shooting and editing, things like that. So I see myself definitely hitting the next level, more equipment, of course. I definitely want to get into bigger productions and just, yeah, man, just continue to have fun, continue to build the clientele, and overall just make people happy, man. I think that something that stems down from the company was the fact that I love helping people, and I know how hard it is, especially in the entertainment and media industry, to get a shot or to even find anybody to help you with something as small as borrowing a microphone, you, yep, know? So if I can help anybody along their creative journey with my videography and with my support, that truly makes me happy and, you know, take it all the way.
So what would be like a dream project that you would do with your company? Like, what is something that you're like, you always think about? Like, for example, like with me, I always think about like bringing in, like, one of my goals with, and me and Joe always talk about this, is that we want to take our podcast on the road,
right?
Like, okay, we want to do like live shows.
That's different, yeah.
And that's like a 5-year plan, like, yeah, you know, like in 5 years we want to have a tour of, like, we're gonna go to auditoriums and
that's amazing,
our podcast, like, yeah, yeah, you know. What is like one thing that you're like, you always think about it, like, I can't wait to do this when like this becomes what I see that it could become,
right? So it's funny, we were just playing the Chris Brown and Drake No Guidance music video,
yeah,
right,
which
before
is dope.
We started, it's amazing, by the way, guys.
That's
so go watch
that. That's his song right now, No Guidance. My favorite song is Otro Trago by Ozuna, by Bunny, all of them. I'm a Spanish,
you know, I have to get into my Spanish side a little more, man, into the music. But basically, funny, watching those two videos, I actually want to get into the music video industry, man. I want my company to produce and direct these amazing videos, because I feel like we were talking about before, the music video game has changed. Like, people aren't really tuning into videos, but yet they're still being popped out, and they're getting good. They're getting better and better. I mean, Cardi B's press video was amazing.
No, press was
I loved
amazing.
It. Yeah, it was dope, and a lot of people don't talk about it.
A lot of people don't talk about it. Also, press was like one of the videos that, those were the type of videos we used to get before.
Right.
Artists used to invest into their music
storytelling
videos.
In it.
Like, it was like, you know, like a whole production. Then we kind of went through the stage where artists were just like in a studio with like green rooms and and they were just recording from there.
Right.
And then now I feel like more, now they're going back to storytelling, production, scenes, actors.
Yep.
But like, that's what I loved about music videos before. Like the fact that you can see like, they have so much going on, like, you know?
Dude, growing up, I would look forward to every, well, background story, Chris Brown's my favorite artist. So I would look forward to looking up Chris Brown videos after school, like coming home in high school, middle school, like, and those videos, you look back at them, him, Usher, Omarion, it tells a story, man. They used to be so well thought out, and I feel like the industry lost that, but they're tapping back into it, I think.
Yeah, they are.
But ultimately, that's my dream, man. If my company can take it to the big screen and produce a beautiful, nice music videos for an immense array of artists, man, I would love that a lot, because I enjoy them.
What is one company that you wish to work for?
That I wish to work for? Viacom.
Viacom?
I hope... and
put it out into the existence, yes, into the world. I believe in the law of attraction.
No, me too, 100%, 100%.
Like, so put it out there.
Yeah, I got to intern for Viacom back in 2017 for Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Eddie Gutierrez, my mentor from there, man. He gave me an amazing opportunity. But yeah, man, Viacom is one of my dream companies. I've always, that's actually because of them, their networks that they own, BET, is how I discovered my passion for hosting.
You know what I see you doing? I see you doing like E-News.
Yes, so E! News is actually, it's funny you say that, because E! News is one of my favorite networks, and one of the people I idolize the most in the industry is Terrence J, and when he made that transition, I automatically followed him to E! News. He's, man, it's a great network, it's great.
He was one of the people that when I saw him make that transition into hosting, I was like, wow, like, someone that has no experience doing this can actually, like, you know, be great at it.
No, literally.
You know? Even though he has his experience from 106 in Park and things like that. But like, I feel like he took a little hiatus.
The genre was different.
Like, you know, and the genre was different. Right. And he was able to, like, I call it code switching, because he went from a very urban, like, scene.
Yes.
To, like, being in a very mainstream type of,
a little more
culture,
kind of suit and tie. Yeah, yeah, type of thing. Yeah.
So, and he does a great job. Yeah, he's really dope. I see you doing that. I see you doing like E! News. That would be dope to see someone Latino on E! News.
Imagine, honestly, you know, pop culture is amazing.
Honestly,
we need it.
E! News needs some diversity.
We need it, man. I think as you know, minorities in the Latino community, we're making a big imprint right now in the industry. If you just kind of, you know, take small looks, especially with the music industry, we're making our name, man. And I'm so proud and honored to be a part of this movement and to continue to inspire and move forward and just gain the knowledge and experiences that a lot of people in our community think that are not possible for us. They think that, you know, everywhere we look, every corner we turn is a wall. And you know what? That may be true at some extent, but listen, man, I have the hammer in my hand. So do you. So does the person listening. So does everybody in this world that is a Latino or minority descent. You have the hammer. It's a matter of taking it, picking it up and using it, you know? So
Cali or New York?
Cali. I'm moving.
Cali?
Yes, I'm moving in June. Actually,
in June,
yes, June 2020 is the date.
That's
when
your
I'm
date?
Moving.
That you're giving yourself a deadline, like,
it is already set.
Oh,
yeah. So, when I was out in LA with my mentor, we had that conversation because we've been talking about that for a little while. But basically, yeah, man, it's official. Me and him talked a little bit about it. I'm actually gonna be moving in with him, and he's gonna help me out and
That's
get my
dope.
Foot on the ground, man. Yeah, so I'm out.
Go visit you.
One more year. Yeah, come through, man. I'm telling all my friends to please come visit me out there.
I wanna live in Cali too. I wanna move there, but I think that I'm going to be in New York for a while.
Yeah.
Just because the type of format of my career.
Right.
Yeah, I want to be in news, like everyone knows. And so that's
is,
here.
Yeah, New York is big for that.
And that's here. Big. All of the important, like, news programs are here.
Yep.
So, but I want to live in Cali.
Yeah. Nah, yeah.
Hopefully I get to the point that I'm like Ryan Seacrest and I come
afuera.
Do something in the morning and then go back to Cali.
Yeah, same thing for me, man. Entertainment hosting, the basis, man. LA is huge.
For entertainment hosting, you definitely gotta be out there. You definitely gotta be out there. I think Cali's just, I've never been, so honestly, don't even listen to what I'm about to say. But from what I see and from people that I've known that go to Cali, they always tell me, like, it's a very, like, creative driven space. Like, you're so inspired to be there.
Yes. So, funny story, man. When I was out there last week, man, by the way, this was my first time out there. And I'll give one piece of advice: bring a hoodie, bring a bomber. It gets cold that night. I didn't know that. No one told me. I'm literally, my first night there last Saturday, the temperature drops. And I'm like, whoa, like to my manager, I'm like, what's going on? He's like, oh yeah, by the way, I forgot to tell you, it gets cold. I'm like, what? Like, you didn't even tell me.
No wonder all
like,
the celebrities be wearing like
that's what I'm saying.
Jackets. I'm, and everybody's like, why are you wearing big jackets in
exactly.
Cali?
Exactly. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna just need these shirts or whatever. I'm good. It's hot all day. No, it's 95 during the day. The minute you see that sun go down, it's over for you. Like, make sure you have at least a hoodie or a little light bomber. But look, California is amazing, man. The dry heat is great. I've never been around dry heat. I've always been, you know, Jersey born and raised. So humidity is expected here. And it's funny because you take out the humidity and the heat is completely different. You can be with a long sleeve and you can kind of like get through it and not complain and just be like, okay, cool. Like, it's warm,
like it's
but
perfect
it's
weather
cool.
Out there.
Yeah, man, it is. It is. I love it.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
I just dream about one day moving there. Like, yeah. I really hope that. It's just so beautiful.
It's amazing, man. But everybody is creative, man. Everyone that I was meeting on set for the two projects that I was working on, either they kept telling me I just made my year mark, or I just made 2 months, or I made 1 month, or I moved here last week. And everybody's coming from, if you listen to the story, it's a creative story, you know, whether it's artistic, whether they want to be an actor, a host, anything like that. Like, I feel like the city calls people and has a certain energy to it. It really draws you in. And everyone I kept talking to agreed with me. And they said, you know what's funny, Ronnie? I don't think you're here for a coincidence, because the city really calls you. And I felt that the second I got off the plane and I went over to my mentor's car and got in. And I said, wow, bro, like I don't know if you feel it because you've been here for a while, but there's an energy about this city. Yeah. Like, there's a really powerful energy. And like, I felt at home.
You feel like you belong. You feel like you belong. Like, that's how I feel about New York City.
Yes.
Like, I love New York City. I love walking around New York City. I love this city because I feel inspired every day I'm walking around. I really feel like I'm at home. I feel like, I don't know, like I just get so much inspiration and motivation.
Yeah.
So that's why I love coming here. And I try, my whole life is here. Right now I'm sleeping in Jersey, but
exactly.
I'm living in New York City.
Exactly. I think a lot of people take it for granted, man.
Yeah.
We have one of the greatest cities in the world right next to us, 20 minutes away. And people don't take advantage of that.
When people tell me they don't like New York City, I'm like, okay, we can be friends.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't.
Exactly.
Tell me a little bit about you growing up. Where are you from? How was it growing up with you, for yourself? When did you know that you wanted to, like, take on this career?
Right, so growing up, man, taking it back, so I'm originally from Newark, New Jersey.
Oh, were you from Newark?
Yeah, I'm from Newark, New Jersey. I moved out of Newark when I was 15 to a town not too far from, and basically my father passed away when I was 8 years old from lupus. And it was a little hard. I mean, it was being a young kid, not understanding what's going on too much. It took a little bit of time to understand the situation I was in terms of, you know, not having that second parent there. Like, it's funny because my mom didn't tell me right away that he passed. I kind of intervened in a conversation that her and my family were having about him passing away at the hospital. But overall, yeah, man, growing up, it was, I can't say that it was bad. I mean, definitely, I want to say, you know, I didn't grow up with anything. Poverty to an extent in my home. I've been making, and it's funny because I'm at the point in my life where I'm very open to share this, because I use it as a very backbone. I use it as, you know, strength for myself. You know, I've been making more than my mom since I was 15, right? So you can say, but before I started working, you know, poverty was definitely apparent in my home, but I never felt poor because my mom would always provide something for me. She always sacrificed something. She'll literally, and understanding it now, I'm 22, understanding it now, she would sacrifice, if she needed a pair of jeans, right? I knew I saw she had a ripped pair of jeans, right? And she needed a new pair. She wouldn't worry about that, and she'll make sure that I have two new sneakers for school before she even bought those pair of jeans or bought anything for her. So she would always buy for me first before anything else. And that's why I never felt like I was incomplete, but I never knew that what the real struggle was, because she was always providing and what, you know, at the expense of her own.
Yeah.
And so I always appreciated that when I got to really think and digest that thought process. But moving out of Newark was my decision. So basically at 14, I already was introduced to gang violence and everything around me. All of my friends were in those stages of joining gangs. You know, being very just destructive people to society, I call it at the time, just very, very bad people to be around with. And I wasn't sucked in. I was never the type to be around it. I would, you know, see it and partake and be friends with the people because, you know, they were my friends that I grew up from kindergarten. But when I noticed that the scenery around me and the people that I grew up with were changing, I said to myself, okay, well, I'm 14. I said, I can't be around this. This is not me. It's not who I am. And it's funny, at 14, I realized if I stay in this city, I see no progression for myself. And not to say that anybody from Newark, New Jersey, or any bad city around the country can't, you know, still grow up there and, eliminate themselves. But I just felt that, I don't know, my situation with how I was and what was going on and what can, and the things that we can do, it wasn't going down a bad route. And I was about to go to Behringer High School. And that,
I went to Behringer.
People already know Behringer is number one bad high school in Newark, man.
I went there my freshman year.
Yeah, right.
And I said, oh, hell no.
Exactly. So that whole summer of eighth grade, after eighth graduation, I spent the entire summer looking for rent by myself. 14-year-old kid on Craigslist. My mom doesn't know any English. She said, if you want to get us out, it has to be on you, because I can't put that time in right now to do that, but I trust you and I'll go with what you said. So literally all summer, every single day, no lie, Wellington, until 4 o'clock in the mornings when I would get off my laptop, I was looking for apartments and rent. And finally, after like 2.5 months, right before the school year started, I found an apartment in a nearby town. It was pretty good. It wasn't too far still, because my mom had, you know, things she has to do in Newark or whatever, so she needed easy access. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, we moved out. I actually met up with the landlord of the company, of the complex that I was looking into, met up with her. She almost took me as a joke. She said, wait a minute, what are you doing here? Like, where's your mom? I said, listen, I know I'm a little kid, right? But trust me, like, I'm here to talk business, and I promise you she'll be here for the last final stages. I have everything you need here, you know. And she took me serious, and we went around, and I ended up moving, man, and I ended up going to a different high school. And then this is why I say that the universe plays in your favor and everything happens for a reason. Like, your life is written out from the moment you're born. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for moving to this particular town, mm-hmm, and for going to this specific high school, I don't know how far or how deep I would have been in my career, or I would have discovered what I wanted to do. Because first day of school, I walked in accidentally into the mass communication studio, right? So my township is one of the few in Jersey that have a full-blown studio. Students put on a show and they broadcast any news from the town to the high school as well as the town on channel 42. Mm-hmm. And I walk accidentally inside of the classroom and I meet the professor. His name's Mr. Sheridan. And we start talking or whatever, and I ended up just asking him if I could come see the show every morning. I didn't know what it was, but I thought it was pretty cool. So I said, why not? I'm a new kid in town, new kid in school. Let me just come see this. So that became extracurricular activity, mm-hmm, for a few months. Then one day, so the anchor and co-anchor, they were seniors. So you have to take a three-level course, MassCom 1 and 2 and 3. And then when you get to 3 is when you can have the opportunity to host a show. Because, mm-hmm, you have to learn, you know, the audio boards, the camera, teleprompter, things like that. So he goes one morning, he's frantic, he's panicking. He's like, listen, we're missing the anchor. So he's not around. I need somebody to sit in here just to read these few lines right now, just to like do a test run before he gets here. Like somebody, like, please, please, you.
Look at God.
Points at me, right? He goes, I'm like, me? He's like, yeah. So he says, you, Ronnie, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, come up here. Can you just like read these lines for me? I know you don't do this, but I just need you to read it. I'm like, okay, why? Let's do it. So yeah. I go up there and you know, he says, listen, so 5, 3, 2, 1, I'm gonna point at camera one. Sorry, camera two. We're gonna come in and then read off teleprompter. It's like three or four sentences. I said, okay, cool. Boom. So he called action, whatever. He starts playing. And then after he's done, he looks at me. He goes, have you ever worked with a teleprompter before? I said, dude, I just moved here. Like, I have no, like, I don't
know. And I'm from Newark.
Is that what that's called? A teleprompter? All right, cool. I've never seen that before. This is what they use. He's like, you're really good. Like, you put emotion into those lines. Like, you said it as if, you said it how it was supposed to be said.
Yeah.
And I said, and I'm listening to him, I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, okay. And then he says, can you do it again? Do a rerun. He says, holy crap. Like, you're really good, man. He's like, have you thought about getting into the level one course? I'm like, why? Listen, dude, like, it's been a few months of freshman year. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, yeah, there's a level one course that you can get into your sophomore year. So, you know, come to the studio. Let me introduce you about it. I'm going to take you out of class then tomorrow. Takes me out of first period. I come back. Watch the show. He ends up taking out the senior anchor and replaces me with him.
Oh my God.
Right? And I host that show for the rest of high school.
Wow.
And so at the same time as that's happening,
that's so dope.
I go home and I'm scrolling through the channels and I stumble upon BET. And the first thing I see is 106 in Park, Terrence J and Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
The second I landed on that show, I got hooked. And now, being at that age, I didn't know what exactly about the show was hooking me until I got into the program and I started seeing what was going on. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I don't really care too much about the show. It's great, but I'm watching Terrence. I'm watching his demeanor, his eye contact, the way he moves, the way he operates the mic, mm-hmm. his character switch up. And so I'm like, am I onto something? And then literally after that, it's just, okay, so this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And that happened
that's,
there.
That's a crazy story.
Yeah, man.
That's a crazy story.
It's surreal to me to even think about that now.
You didn't even take the class and he just switched you?
Yeah, man. That's literally dope. Like that. Like, that was crazy. I couldn't even believe him. I just thought he was playing. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm just going to do a little fun thing and go out of my way. But it ended up, like, I found what my true calling was on this planet, man.
Do you find it difficult to stay motivated or stay on task by yourself? Like, for example, I'm the type of person that I need creatives just like me to be around.
Right.
And I need to put myself in situations right. and environments where, like, I'm around. Like, I want to be a journalist. Mm-hmm. I have, like, four of my friends that they want to go into news journalism too. Right. And we have a group chat called The Future of Journalism. And it's just, like, a group chat of us friends. But since we all share that same connection that we all want to go into this right. business, like, you know, like, we support each other. We help each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's interning somewhere this summer. Mm-hmm. I'm working. So it's, like, I think that it's very important for you to, like, surround yourself with like-minded people,
right.
you know?
So one thing I want to say is touching on motivation, right? So I believe motivation is fake. So I don't believe in motivation. The reason why I say that is because motivation only lasts a certain amount of time, right? You can be motivated for 24 hours. You can be motivated for 1 week. You can be motivated for a month, a year. Overall, the term motivation is temporary, right? So
I think I heard that in one of your videos.
Right. So
when I was listening to your videos preparing for this.
Yeah.
You were talking
exactly.
About
that. Yeah. So I touched on a topic of that on my YouTube channel. But basically, motivation is fake. So once that false cloud of motivation leaves, what do you have? Right. What are you stuck with? You're stuck with your why factor. Mm-hmm. Right. Your why factor for why you're doing what you're doing, why you need to complete this task or anything, is what's going to put you forward. So if you don't have that. And that goes for anybody in any industry, any field. If you don't have your why factor established, you will not gain or accomplish anything. I repeat, you will not gain or accomplish anything you have set for yourself, because now there is no deeper reasoning for why you must continue. There is nothing in your heart and in your mind telling you you need to get up and do this. Mm-hmm. And so the problem is people, it's such a strong trend right now to throw the word motivation up in the air, but no one's talking about the why. Because anybody who's anybody will tell you that is their why that got them to where they're at, not motivation. Motivation does not work. It's a false reality. And I hate that our generation, especially the younger generation, are really, you know, throwing all their cards into one deck with motivation. And it just hurts me to see that, man. It really does. So I know motivation is 100% fake. In terms of how do I keep myself motivated, well, like I said, I don't use motivation. I use my why, and my why for me is my mom. She's definitely a part of my why factor. Like I said before, the sacrifices that she's done for me, you know, the things that I've witnessed growing up, I've studied her very, very well. And as much as I love and want to succeed in the career path that God has chosen for me, I think that a lot of it does come from seeing her happiness and her smile and just seeing me able to do that. My mom came from DR in 96, Dominican Republic. My father brought her out here. And then, you know, losing my dad so quickly, just a few years later, not even a decade, and, you know, being stuck with, you know, an 8-year-old child, you know, barely any income to survive, and, you know, in the middle of dead winter, and she's looking at me and she's literally saying, she told me, you know, what am I gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
And
I've been there.
It took her 7 seconds to wipe those tears off her face and get to work, right? There was no motivation at that point. It was her why factor. It was, am I going to let this situation define who I am, or am I going to raise my son with everything I have in me and make sure I provided the best life for him? Yeah. And so I feel like, you know, with the blessing of being able to chase this career path and chase, you know, what I'm doing, I want all of it. I wanted to repay her. And I think about her before I do anything. I mean, walking into this building, you know, it's my first time here, my first time in an actual radio station set. And automatically, you know, I knew I was going to come to do this podcast with you. But I said to myself, you know, this is for you. Right. This is the next step in my journey for my mom, because that is the person who will reap these benefits just as much as I will.
You're amazing.
Thank you, man.
You're amazing. Let's line up the mood a little bit. Single, how's your love life?
Oh man, so there is no love life, man. Single, single,
ready to
single.
Mingle or yeah. Ready to not?
So I'm single. I'm not in any dating stage or anything like mm-hmm. that. So the thing is with me, and people always laugh or have something to say about this, but I think it's true. I don't think I'm gonna get into a relationship until like 30 something. And the reason why I say this is because I'm so focused on my career. Mm-hmm. It actually, in a way, it stops a lot of growing relationships. And I don't want to say that in a negative way, but some people do view it as that. You know, like, I've had instances where, you know, I've met, a beautiful, you know, girl, and we've, you know, almost gotten to that stage of talking, things like that. But then things will stop, mm-hmm. right? Like, I will, but she won't, I will. I'll cut it off. And that's because I live with an overwhelming fear of I don't want to say fear, but just I want to succeed at all costs. And I believe that there's a lot of things in life that are distractions. And I think for our, you know, right now, I think your 20s is your greatest decade. I think this is your most impactful decade. You know, granted, you know, yes, things can happen, you know, 30, 40, 50. But I think that your 20s are so important because you're at that stage where, you know, life hasn't really hit you too much. You're still preparing. And you can put 160% effort into everything you do to make sure that the next few decades are set.
Yeah.
And so I think that a relationship at this time in my life, man, it wouldn't be fair to her, man. It wouldn't be fair because I wouldn't be able to give her the time, the day. And I'm still discovering who I am. I think that relationships go wrong because somebody in there can't give 100%. They can only give 60 or 45 or 50. And I don't want to do that to somebody. I don't want to play with someone's heart and she give me 100 and I'm only cusping 35 because of the fact that my mind is elsewhere. So it wouldn't be fair, man. So
I agree with you. However, I am 100% into my career and I'm 100% like focused and devoted and like I want to make it and I have all of my goals.
Right.
But I am tired of being alone. I am so tired. I want to get cuffed. So if
I enjoy being alone, man.
That's
weird,
right? If anybody's
listening,
sliding into my DMs. Moving on.
DMs.
Nicki or Cardi?
Whew, Cardi.
Cardi? Mm.
Yes, sir. I love
her. Right now, I'm agreeing with you. Even though I'm a Barb at heart, but I need Nicki to step it up.
Yeah, no,
tomato,
man.
Tomato.
Oh, tomato.
Tomato. Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix, 100%. Hulu is out of here.
Coke or Pepsi?
Neither. Water.
Okay, but if you have to choose one.
Definitely Coke.
Pepsi, bye.
Okay.
Spotify or Apple Music?
Spotify, 100%.
You know what's funny? That thing that you posted on Instagram about Spotify, mm-hmm. how you went like, you were basically like, I thought you were being sponsored by them because you were like promoting Spotify so much. I was like, that really got me to change because I was an Apple Music person
yeah.
before. And then I used to be a Spotify person, but then I switched it because I'm like, I used to share my Spotify with my little sister.
Right.
So whenever she was listening to it, it would stop on my phone. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I don't got time for this. And I just didn't like the app because sometimes, like, things wouldn't drop on Spotify.
Right.
But that was, like, a long time ago. That was, like, when the app was, like, kind of new.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went to Apple Music. And I was there for a minute. And then you were posting all that stuff about Spotify. And I was like, you know what? Let me just try Spotify.
Yo, it's amazing.
I love it.
It's amazing. You have so much creative control, man. Like, literally, the app formulate stations to what you listen to.
That's what
it reads what
like,
you do.
I am yeah. the type of person, like, I'm sorry, but I'm not a music person when it comes to the fact, like, I do not stay updated with the new songs
right.
that are coming out, new mm-hmm. artists. I love that Spotify puts me on.
It does it for you. There's
like,
all the work for you.
I can play one song and it will play a whole playlist of, like, the same type of music. Yep,
exactly.
Like, it puts me on to new, like, I love that about that.
Apple, man, that's what you're failing at. You're listening.
KFC or Popeyes?
Popeyes, 100%.
Me too. KFC needs to get it together.
They got little scandals going on.
I know. iPhone or Android?
Oh, team iPhone all day.
If
simplicity,
you have a green bubble,
man,
please don't text me.
Do not text me.
Email
but if
me.
You're
I'd
with
rather
the
you
network,
email me.
Yes.
Do not text me if you have a green bubble. I don't got time for that. I don't got time for that. Well, everybody, thank you so much, Ronnie, for coming to
man,
the weekly
thank
rundown.
You. This was fun, man.
I am sad that Joe is not here. However, like I said, she has to work. She has to get that coin. But we have just a little housekeeping. We have a lot of more interviews coming up next week. We're going to be interviewing up-and-coming artists that Joe knows. We're also going to be interviewing one of my friends that he also has like a production company.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
like,
right.
Videography company.
Dope, man, dope.
And we're also going to be interviewing next week. We also have our weekly astrology. So if you have any questions about your sign, your future, what do you want to do? You already know our resident astrologer, Kim Allen, is going to be here next week. So DM us those questions. Comment on our picture, whatever it is that you want to do. We're going to take all questions. And next Tuesday, we're recording that episode. So make sure that you are on that so that we can get those questions answered. Again, thank you so much. Remember to be amazing and spread positivity 25/8 because
ooh,
you already
that.
Know. Like
I love that, man.
Yeah, like you need to
day.
Spread positivity and law of attraction all the
yes.
time.
Yes.
Deuces, I'm out. Thank you for listening. This has been the Weekly Rundown with Ronnie Castro.
Let's get it.